Hi, welcome to the Cancer solstice. In the Northern Hemisphere, it is a time of greatest sunlight, and in the Southern Hemisphere, it is the time of the least amount of sunlight. However, the astrological energies available to us are the same, and where the sun is located at this Cancer solstice is the same, which is that the sun is located in a part of the sky that is where galactic edge is. And galactic edge is in between the horns of the bull and the feet of the twins, and it is where new energy pulses into our universe, galactic energy. And every 26,000 years, the solstice sun is in this location, but it is here for about 72 years, and even the effect is felt for 144 years. So it's not just today, but it lets us know that we are at a turning of an age, that we are at a time of immense change and transition and composting the old and birthing the new, and that we are at a time where we are being asked to evolve in a quantum way that we don't have a lot of reference points for, and that our third density carbon-based bodies are being asked to assimilate, absorb, digest, and then create with these quantum fields of light that are coming in. And the earth and nature is doing this as well. And it's just important to acknowledge that that is happening. And around the solstice time and the equinoxes, the quantum fields of galactic light are coming into the meridians of the earth and the ley lines, and they are exponentially increasing them. And this can be measured. This can be measured. We know this is happening. And so the energy gets very strong around solstices and equinoxes, making it a very powerful time to set intentions, say prayers, and release what is coming up for release. And so I want to tell you a little bit about the astrological energies of this time. And I am going to do a oracle card reading so that you can hear some of this. Usually what happens is some of the same information is transmitted, but in a very different way, with very different language. Or sometimes the cards share something that I didn't say, but that is important to know. And I did a brief meditation for you. It's called a golden egg meditation to help you assimilate this energy. It's a meditation I learned about 20 years ago from a shaman that I was working with, and it's a beautiful way to revitalize your body and balance your chakras. So now what we have, the solstice starts on the East Coast. I'm going to use East Coast at 5:13 a.m. on June 21st on Tuesday. But this energy is really available to us a few weeks before and a few weeks after. I'm also going to include in this reading some of the astrological alignments that are going to be occurring in July that aren't so strong at solstice, but they're there. But I want you to know about them because, astrologers are really all, we're all about sharing with you sacred time and instead of linear time. Linear time is like, it's June, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's time to go to work, it's time to come home. Mundane. Sacred time is really, we look at the astrological alignments to let us know what time it is. We look at, oftentimes, we look at the solstices, the equinoxes, we look at the new moons and the full moons, that's included in sacred timings. And we look at major global astrological alignments, and we look at eclipses. And so that is why I like to come to you at the solstices and the equinoxes to share with you, what is the sacred timing we are in? What time is it? What are the archetypal energies that we are creating with, co-creating with? What is available to us? So obviously at the solstice, the sun moves into 0 degrees Cancer. And the Cancer energies are all about Big Mama, Divine Feminine, the Divine Mother, all about our emotional nature. It's water. It's our connection to nurturance, family, and how we may be shifting our sense of family, our soul family, our friend family, and our biological family. Cancer is all about home roots, how we give and receive support, love. It is associated with deep, deep feeling, open-heartedness, empathy, and caring for ourselves and for one another, caring for the vulnerable. So it's about igniting this. It's about activating this, because Cancer is a cardinal sign. It's about activation. And so we come into this season asking ourselves, what helps us feel nourished? What helps us feel connected to ourselves and to others? And let's take action on this. Let's do this. Does listening to the birds, hanging out with the trees, being with small circles of friends, lighting candles, taking baths, taking time every day to listen to those little ones inside of you that don't often get heard and just need your presence and love, and connecting to that heart space within yourself and sending out that heart into the field. There's some very interesting alignments happening right now on and around the solstice, having to do with these dwarf planets in the Kuiper belt. And these are planets that have recently been discovered since the year 2000. And they are the planets beyond Pluto and can only be seen with a microscope. I mean, not a microscope, a telescope. And as our telescopes get stronger and stronger, we can see more and more and more. And as new planets are discovered, they actually reflect new energies available to us, what we are creating with, and what will become more and more present in physical reality. And at this solstice, a lot of these planets are in a square around the sun. And when we have the Cancer new moon on June 28th, this gets stronger. And so I'm going to just describe this to you. So these planets are were named after the indigenous creation gods and goddesses. And they all have to do with connection to nature, connection that to the next seven generations, the awareness that everything has a soul. They are all connected to the principle of regenerative energy, the quantum field, the crystal grid, and our reciprocal relationship to each other and the earth. They are all inviting us to trust in the unseen, and that reminding us that we are all recovering from the effects of colonization that has taken place over the past several thousand years, and assisting us in healing and reconnecting with our soul, with nature, and with our interconnectedness. And they do so in ways that are very different than the creation energy that we have been working with. I don't want to get too technical, because I don't want you to end up trying to figure out what I'm saying. But I do want to just say that so there's the sun in Cancer, 0 degrees Cancer, and she is with Black Moon Lilith, right with her. And Black Moon Lilith is in Cancer now. And Black Moon Lilith is that really rebellious, no bullshit, sovereign, sexual, autonomous, free, feminine energy. In myth, she was the counterpart of Adam, Adam's first wife, but she left the garden. Some say she left. Some say she was kicked out because she wouldn't go with the idea that Adam was her superior and she was going to have to listen to him. So out she went, and she became like the rebellious, sovereign, autonomous female. And she is right with the solstice sun. She is, some people think of her as being sort of like Kali. And it also has to do with what we have repressed and hidden within ourselves, especially our sexual nature, our fiery nature, our no bullshit, like, I am not putting up with this. No. And so she's really available to us at this Cancer solstice. And it is interesting that in the United States, about a week after the solstice and right around the Cancer new moon, we're going to be hearing from the Supreme Court's ruling on how much they are going to impinge on a woman's autonomous right to inhabit her own body and to say what happens within it in terms of Roe v. Wade. And Lilith being in the sign of Cancer, Big Mama, it's just going to, it's very interesting to me. Squaring this, so we have the moon at the time of the solstice is in Aries, and right next to the moon is Selassie. Selassie is a planet that is the wife of Neptune. And she, when you think of the light of the ocean, the light that shimmers off the ocean, that diamond light or a lake or a pond, or the light that comes off the water, that's the energy of Selassie. She heals and creates with light. And she's very multidimensional. And so that energy is conjunct the moon and is being really activated and brought in. And then we have opposite her, Maki Maki, who is a creation god from Easter Island. And the story goes that Easter Island was the people and the land was destroyed and laid waste from disease and pestilence and ecological devastation. And Maki Maki regenerated and brought back life to the land in ways that are non-rational, non-logical, regenerative, brought back. And Maki Maki is associated with environmental activists. And you see that a lot of environmental activists have this energy very strong in their chart if you look at it. And so that's really powerfully being constellated in. And opposite the sun, we have Haumea, the Hawaiian fertility goddess. She is a goddess also associated with massive amount of fertility, creation, making a way out of no way, massive amounts of plants, flowers, growing out of the rocks, and she has a magic wand. And in her magic wand, she creates food and nurturance and sustenance. And so we've got all of these amazing energies very, very present and being constellated in at the time of the solstice. And again, it is that connection to nature that we all, the connection to soul force, that connection to healing with light and sound and color and quantum fields and the creative process being very regenerative and finding a way out of no way, creating abundance when things are falling apart, when things, and it is reflecting a shift in our consciousness, and it affects what we are able to manifest into physical reality. And is, again, supporting us in our recovery process. And they are also asking us to trust that though we can't see them with our naked eye, and though we don't yet see the full manifestation of them in our world, this energy is coming in. And the only thing I could say about this is that in the 1970s, the planet Chiron was seen and discovered and is associated with alternative healing and integrative healing. And it was during that time that we started, you know, our bodies ourselves and my acupuncture school started to come in at that time, and we just started to see the beginnings of people doing yoga and yoga studios, you know, people, you know, but just the beginning. And now you're hard pressed to find a gym that doesn't have yoga classes all the time. And everyone knows what an acupuncturist is. In 1970, people you're going to stick needles in people's bodies to create healing. It was so new. And here we are, you know, decades later, and it's all a part of our culture. Still not the dominant paradigm, but very much integrating. I mean, just the language used to be called alternative healing, and now it is called integrative healing. We are integrating, and we're going to see this moving forward in quantum leaps with these new dwarf planets as healing with frequency, healing with light, healing with color, experiencing quantum shifts in our consciousness, in our ability to perceive with our souls, from our souls, and to receive guidance and to act on that guidance and to feel that support coming in. 50 years from now, we'll be looking back at today saying, oh, we couldn't have imagined all of these changes that, you know, it's true. If you look at where we are and if you draw a straight line from now into the future, it does not look good. And what these planets are reminding us is that we're not creating in a linear fashion, that there are many breakthroughs, there are many awakenings, there are many shifts in consciousness that will create shifts in physical reality. That doesn't mean that it's all going to be just fine and dandy. We have many challenges that we are being faced with and that are unfolding right before our eyes right now and will continue to unfold. But we cannot imagine the creativity that is also coming in to meet these challenges. And that this solstice is a reminder that these energies are coming in and they are going to grow and mature within each of our individual consciousnesses and in the collective. So I wanted to start with that and say that, so the moon is in Aries, conjunct Jupiter as well. And so Aries energy is that fiery feminine energy that is about leadership. It is about taking action. It is about courage. It is about, again, sovereignty, no bullshit. We're going to do this. We are opening up to the new. We are clearing the way. We are stepping into the unknown with courage, with faith, and with leaps of enthusiasm. And so that energy is available to us at the solstice and throughout the season. And you'll see that there is more. Mars right now is also in Aries. And Mars, the masculine energy in Aries, is conjunct Chiron. And Eris is squared by Pluto. And so, you know, what we are going to be seeing through this season, what we have been seeing, what we're going to continue to see, and it's going to get stronger as we move into July, is this shadowy, wounded, masculine, out of bounds energy that is aggressive and wounded and acting. You know, we may see this through how the Supreme Court acts, through things that may happen around the world, and that is part of this dismembering, dismantling process of, you know, it's a last gasp, last ditch attempt to impose the old structure. And it is bold and it is expressive and it is cannibalizing itself. And it has no idea the amount of Eris is right there. So Eris is like, oh, no, you didn't. It is waking, this energy is waking a sleeping giant of something within us saying, no, we are aligning with fairness, with justice, with what is in our hearts. And we are active. We are going to engage. We are not asleep. There's this waking up this summer, this waking up energy that I'm going to talk more about. In response to some of this very out of bounds, aggressive behavior. Um, So what else do I want to say about all of this? This Aries energy that's really alive and awakening. And then we have the North Node in Taurus and the South Node in Scorpio. And the North Node is about to get a very strong activation. Mars is going to be moving into Taurus in July and coming into very strong relationship with the North Node. And that's what I really want to talk about. So Uranus conjuncts the North Node every 15 years. And the North Node is what we are learning and where we are moving towards collectively. The North Node has been in Taurus since May 2018 and will remain there until April 2026. So our collective destiny, we are learning about and moving into the energies of Taurus. And we have Uranus exactly conjunct Taurus at the end of July. So I want to bring that in because it's going to happen this summer. And at the same time that that's happening, Mars in Taurus is going to be there as well. So this, although we have this North Node between 2018 and 2026, it's really being activated now because the eclipses are in the Taurus and Scorpio axis. And because Uranus is exactly conjunct the North Node, and because Mars is going to be right there. So it's sort of a perfect storm of massive activation, energizing, and triggering this energy of Taurus. So Taurus is an earth sign, and Taurus is all about simplifying, savoring life, slowing down so that we can actually experience the pleasure of our bodies and of our life and of our food. It's associated with that deep, quiet presence. Taurus is about the divine feminine and how she embodies through us in our physical form. It is also about how we embody all of this crystalline quantum light that's pouring in at solstice, inviting us to embody, supporting us in that process of coming all the way down and in, down to the tips of our toes and really feeling the energy tingling in our bodies and feeling the shimmering in the trees and our connection. Taurus is about comfort, security, sensuality. It's about what we value and our capacity to receive. And Uranus, this is also associated with how we farm, the food that we eat, our financial systems, what we perceive as wealth, is associated with nature and creating more simplicity. And with this conjunction that's happening this summer, we are really being asked to redefine what it means to be secure, to be comfortable, what wealth means, to really reimagine and revolutionize. And so cryptocurrencies have been really associated with Uranus and Taurus, and they're going through a lot of instability now, but this is inviting to bring stability to this, like maybe regulating it a little so people will trust it more so that we can move more into the digital, because Uranus and Taurus is all about moving more into, it's also associated with the computers, and helping us to get prepared when Pluto in 2023 and 2024 moves into Aquarius. So it is inviting us to awaken to new ideas, new ways of doing things. You know, Uranus in Taurus is about progress, innovation, breakthroughs, getting upgrades, flashes of insight, being able to slow down so that we can contact that inner witness, that objective awareness, that when we're connected to that, it opens up new paradigms. It shifts our perception. It allows us to be in our brilliance, in our higher mind, our higher consciousness, so that we can see. It's like the eagle that soars high above the mundane to get the big picture, to see what is needed to bring in radical revolutionary change that is in alignment with our destiny, our collective destiny. Uranus is the great awakener and brings in a sense of freedom and a desire for freedom and a desire for change. Uranus also brings shocks, brings disruptions, sometimes eruptions, sometimes explosions and earthquakes, because Uranus is about moving stuck energy. Where the energy builds up and won't move, Uranus is going to move it. And if you in your life are very flexible and fluid and open to change and open to receiving guidance and acting on that guidance and stretching and breathing and moving, Uranus just feels like a lot of dynamic energy and change and forward motion and having access to intuition and insights. And if you are trying to hold on to the past, because let's face it, the past is what we know. It's what brought us security so far, and everything is changing all the time, constantly, and we don't know where it's taking us, and some of it is really scary. Some of it's really exciting. And even, as I said in the beginning, that the electrical, it's associated with the electrical systems of our bodies, and we are living in a time when our very physical bodies are changing and evolving. It can be experienced as a fresh breeze that brings in innovation and breakthroughs, and it can be experienced as like explosions or, and it certainly is not a time where we experience a tremendous amount of stability. Uranus, conjunct the North Node, definitely awakens a desire for change, a desire for freedom, a desire for fairness and humanitarian ideals. And at the time of the solstice and the Cancer new moon, you know, as I said, Lilith, this no bullshit aspect of the divine feminine that's all about sovereignty and autonomy, and Eris are very active. And Eris is all about, really associated with activism and fairness and balance and hearing all of the voices and disrupting the status quo and working towards change. And so all of this is getting very strong from in, it's already really strong, but it's going to keep building throughout the summer, coming to an apex in mid-July to mid-August. The exact conjunction of Mars, Uranus, and the North Node is July 1st and August 1st. But it's the peak is felt and building throughout the whole summer. So Uranus and Taurus might ask, how are you making your life more complicated than it needs to be? Where can you simplify? How can you be more present, more connected to that central channel, that innate wisdom that circulates inside of you? How can you be more aligned to nature? And in what ways would it be helpful to be flexible and open to new ideas and breakthroughs around your own sense of safety? We cannot decide that our safety is based on how safe the world is, because we will not feel safe. We have to bring the quality of feeling safe within ourselves no matter what happens, no matter what. And that is kind of like a postdoc fellowship in spiritual growth, but it's where we are and where we need to be and where these alignments are supporting us to build a sense of safety no matter what. And to know that our financial systems, our food systems, farming technological systems, they're all changing really fast. And there are disruptions. And there is instability right now, quite a bit. And it is about simplifying and redefining how you experience your inner security. And connecting to the natural world, connecting to friends, building community, building resiliency. And with that moon in Aries at this time, it's like, there's this enthusiasm for it, really. Uranus also really brings in those new values, those new solutions, those unexpected new solutions, those new frequencies, those quantum leaps, and also disclosures, truth-telling. What we need to see, what we need to awaken to, so that we can change. There is a saying in my coaching community of, if you can see it, you don't have to be it. And these energies bring in clarity, they bring in synchronicity, they bring in brilliance, they can be intense, and they can also really rile up our nervous systems. And so Taurus likes to feel comfortable. So with Uranus and Taurus, Taurus is like, ugh, do I have to change? but Taurus also can teach us how to simplify and be comfortable with those simple, beautiful resources and how to use our resources in new ways. So we will be experiencing unique events that disrupt the status quo, get us to think outside the box, act outside the box, and to use our resources in new and innovative ways. And also to just prioritize sensuality, embodiment, simplicity, being a bringer and creator of beauty, connecting to our inner wisdom, to our stillness, and allowing those sudden shifts in our perspectives and our beliefs to unfold, and to trust the process, because so much is changing, and it's changing to support us in our highest. What we want to kind of project onto all of this with our intention is that we are being led, or there is the possibility for us to move into our most fulfilling reality, or to be the seed pods for that to unfold through us. And if we stay focused on only what is unraveling and the trauma that comes with that and the fear, it's very difficult for us to access this higher consciousness, these new perspectives, these innovative ways that are teaching us how to move in this time to bring about the most fulfilling reality possible for ourselves and for the collective. And at the same time, the South Node is in Taurus, is in Scorpio, which is really, we're clearing out our old karma. We're completing soul contracts. We are freeing ourselves from the misperceptions, the misunderstandings that have accumulated over the past thousands of years under a consciousness that was more about separation than connection and unity, and we are moving into unity. It is taking time, a great deal of time, but this summer, there is this constellation, there's this energizing. And so, you know, yeah, Uranus is also associated with earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and climate change and fires and storms that wake us up. But the invitation is, how can we respond to this? How can we bring more stability into the instability, and how can we bring innovative solutions in? And do we need to make changes in our life? You know, if you live in a place that is every summer, there's smoke and fires and there is less and less water, this would be a time that you might receive some insight into, do you want to still live there? Or maybe you do want to still live there, but there are certain projects you want to participate in to ease that in some way. Uranus is very zingy, very liberating, and it helps us in supporting us in taking leaps into the future. It is bringing in a lighter energy and calling us to do our shadow work. With the North Node in Taurus and the South Node in Scorpio, we are definitely called to do our shadow work so we can lighten up, so we can hold these new frequencies and see these new possibilities and new perspectives. It is not about shutting out the darkness, but it is really about bringing the light into the darkness, shining the light on it so that we can transmute it. And it is really an invitation to stay in your heart, to stay in the observer. As one of my friends says, you don't need to jump into the alligator pond and wrestle all the alligators. You can just observe it. We are at a time. Astrologically, the sacred timing is we are reshaping our values. We are shifting from 3D to 5D. We are bringing crystalline energy into our bodies. We are evolving as a species, and we are shifting into new paradigms. We are moving into a new timeline. We are moving more into self-reliance, resilience, and learning to thrive no matter what is unraveling and unfolding, and to pull away our over-reliance on external systems and external authorities, owning our inner authority and owning our capacity to bring our brilliance into our lives. We also have this summer Saturn in Aquarius that is retrograde. From June 4th to October 23rd, Saturn in Aquarius is retrograde. And Uranus is asking us to leap into the future, trust what we know and feel, even if it is not yet fully emerged, even if you don't know where it's really taking you, to trust your intuition, those next steps that are unfolding that you don't exactly know where they're going to land, but you know that you need to take them. Trust that. Believe in it. Saturn is asking us at the same time to reassess and reexamine and reposition what is on our plate. The solstice is about what is blossoming in your life. What do you want to blossom? What are we bringing life to? And what are we nurturing and watering? And with Saturn in retrograde, we're being asked, what do we want to commit to? And what do we need to cut loose from? Some of our commitments, some of our old ways of being can be really awesome and beautiful and amazing, but they're done. They've expired. They're complete. And if that's the case for you, you're starting over the summer, you're going to know it. And so it's time to cut loose, set new boundaries, get some stuff off your plate so that you can experience more freedom. And also express your unique self, your soul's blueprint. Which plants need to be watered and nourished, and which ones are just no longer a priority? And this is also asking us to step away from old conditioning and become more responsible for your own energy, for grounding yourself, for listening to that clear inner guidance that's coming through this summer, and how you want to live in your life, how you want to embody the qualities of kindness, compassion, presence, love, inclusion, community, humanitarianism. This is Aquarius, higher truth, higher love. How can we show up and embody these? What needs to leave? Asking yourself, what would love do? And that includes, what would love for yourself do? What is compassionate for yourself? Saturn is practical, mature, and it asks us to show up to bring it, but also to set boundaries, to be realistic. Saturn in Aquarius is really about becoming masterful at accessing and acting on our higher consciousness, on all of these brilliant, innovative, quantum fields of light and awareness and consciousness that we are having more and more access to take responsibility for it inside of us, and to begin to create with it. So that is what I have for you. And sending great love and blessings, and may it go well for you. Aho.